All right, let's do open our Bibles together and grateful to God. Again, the words of life. Praise God. Back in James, and God willing, tonight in this fifth chapter, really, I believe, the high water mark of James, and one of my favorite portions of Scripture in the entire Word of God. I pray that, again, the Holy Spirit just anoint, really, in His might and power, demonstrates this so sweetly to your heart and how much He loves you. But from all the gleaning of the benefits of believing that we've read about in James and all of the benefits of by faith, here we go. Tonight's portion, as well as in many other books of the Bible, it's the reason that we live. It's the reason we really rejoice. And it's the reason that we believe the moment we look forward to face with Jesus Christ. And praise be to God, this portion tonight tells us that it is soon, so soon. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And so grateful to God that He brings this so richly to us. But in James 5, and we'll begin reading the 7th verse, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." And we're going to just get to those 5 verses, if the Lord will, tonight. And there's much to talk about here, and we are going to move along just to cover these simple 5 verses. But we begin with be patient. And be patient has been ingrained in our hearts over and over throughout God's sweet ministry in this place. And it's been ingrained in our hearts, especially since Sunday. Be patient. Wait. It's a requirement. It's a proving, brothers and sisters, in the waiting. And this waiting is a patient waiting. We spoke about it again on Sunday. And that's a wait, brothers and sisters, that you know is valuable. You patiently wait for something that is good. You patiently wait for something that you know is worth the wait. And this is an assured wait. It's an expected at any moment wait. It's a knowing. And in that, there's a satisfaction, there is a contentment, there is confidence that this is the wait for the meeting in the air. And I'm sure this has happened in your life, and I'm so grateful to God. Again, it's His grace. It's not a put-on. When somebody that you meet that's a Christian, after a while, it might be immediately, but after they get to know you, they might stop and say, "Why is it that you're so excited and anticipating the coming of the Lord?" I always remember one of the sweet acquaintances in my life, a brother so zealous for the things of God. I'm thankful. I know that the Lord is really dealing with him about the deep things of God. But when we met so many years back, you know, it was hard for him to sit still about the Lord. So thankfully to tell how the Lord saved him and how much the Lord means to him and being filled with the Holy Spirit and all of these things. And then he let me talk for just a moment. But in that just brief moment, to express to him what my life by grace is all about is loving his appearing. That Jesus could be here, that he could come and take me right now at this moment. I might not be here anymore. And he said, he just stopped and he was awestruck. And he just said, "I've never met anybody that so truly was anticipating seeing Jesus." This is what we're talking about tonight. This is the patiently waiting. This is that you're completely occupied with Him. That there truly is, brothers and sisters, such abundance of hope. That as these things try to attack you in this world, why the cares of this world try to bring you down, there's a love that doesn't let you go. There's a love that keeps on pulling and pressing. And it, you know that it could be. And praise be to God, no matter what else is going on, by His grace and grace alone, that love and compassion and passion to see His face takes it all away. And I'm so thankful that by grace, I believe it's even stirring more than ever to see Him. So we're grateful for that and thankful. But you see, as I was able to somewhat get words that could maybe begin to express what I'm talking about here, is the Lord pierced my heart. You know what I'm saying? When your heart was just really pierced. Pierced with the knowledge of His love toward us. And I mean us. And us in Christ. And Christ in us. But that by grace and grace alone, that we are His workmanship. And that we've got Him. We've got His attention. And not just His attention, but that He's head over heels in love with you. I mean that He is head over heels in love with you. That He's waiting and anticipating the moment that His Father will say to Him someday, "Son, go get her." Do you see Him? Do you see Him like that? I pray you do. I pray you've seen Him like that before. But I pray most importantly that right now, by God's grace, we see Him like that. It's not what we used to see. It's what do we see right now? What's burning in here right now? What do we see? And I'm talking about burning. I understand that He gives me love for Him. But I'm telling you, this love is seeing how much He loves you. How much He anticipates being with you. And knowing that His love will never waver. Knowing that He's coming for us. Knowing, as David said about that deer, that, you know, He's delirious with His love over me. What do you think? What do you think now? Am I stepping out somewhere where I shouldn't be? I pray that God willing, all of us in His love, us in Christ, till we all come to step out and say, "Lord, let it be me. I know it's Your will. Let me be in that body that You will make known unto all that He has loved her." Praise be to God. That's what it's about. This is what this is about. I am grateful to God. I love to see a contented bride-to-be. And I am thankful that I see that in my sister Jessica. She has been so content. She's so thankful. I'm sure that there's been times of things maybe bubbling up. But there's one thing. She knows her groom loves her. She is not doubting that He's going to show up. I will be confident that that brother will be here early. I am sure that he is going to do everything and anything he can to make sure that on Saturday he will not miss this moment. This time that has been appointed for him to take his wife, he will be here. He will. God willing. But in his heart of hearts, he will not miss that. That gives that dear sister rest beyond. I was visiting with a couple that's thinking of getting married here soon, and just to be able to encourage them. It's about being together. It's not about where you live or what you have. And God help, never let that change. That enjoyment, that the treasure, it's not the home, it's the groom, it's the bride, it's the marriage. And see, that's what happens is we get distracted, don't we? And I'm talking in our natural marriages. We think other things are more important. We think that we need to have this. It was amazing when you got married, you didn't have anything, did you? You just had one another. Probably the happiest day of your life. In a lot of ways. You know why? Because it was so pure. It was so pure. It was just, that was the reason you were there. You weren't there for anything but to be together. What do you think? Now, we're talking about Him. All that other stuff just went out the window because it couldn't even compare. But this is the type, and what a sweet type it is. And hallelujah, how wonderful that is. But even if, you know, you've missed some of that, some of those things haven't come to pass in your life, it's okay because of Him. Because of what, you know, we can get excited about this wedding. There's a marriage of the Lamb that's coming. All right? So that's why we can all rejoice. But we need to be thankful by God's grace. As we're going to read about, grudge not, don't be envious. When things that are wonderful and sweet that happen to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, do you know that's part of my body too? Amen. I rejoice. I do. I'm thankful. I am happy in the Lord when I see the manifold blessings come over my brothers and sisters in Christ. The moment that we're not, God help us, we need to pray for the right spirit. Amen? Amen. All right. So in that, we're so thankful that He does love us. And in that vision of His heart, brothers and sisters, see the vision of His heart for you, His love for you, we wait patiently because we're fully satisfied and we are assured in Scripture over and over. And in tonight, we're assured that it will be soon. But we notice here, it says, be patient therefore, brethren. This starts off to us to wait, to abide, and to endure. Because he says, behold. And this word behold, so wonderful, take note, count it. Know that this is the word of God and it is true. The husbandman here. And in the Greek, that word, I was loving looking at it, it's georgos. And it looks like gorgeous. And so I was thinking, boy, that husbandman, he is gorgeous. I'm thankful that the Lord encourages my heart that way when you just, you know, he just sees, you know, he does it exceeding abundantly. And he didn't have to make it look like that. But you know what? It does look like that. And he is just gorgeous. But this husbandman in the Greek, it means the vine dresser, the tiller of the soil, the one who is about producing much fruit. And you notice here, aren't you thankful? Because if you know you, aren't you thankful that He waits for us and He has long patience for us? We'd all be done if He didn't have the long patience. Because we know that nothing in us abides faithful. It's just Him. And praise the Lord as that faithfulness continues to come and to come and to come. That by His grace, there's that time, I believe, and we're giving over to it, brothers and sisters, where we just fall into it and it becomes effectually working in us. So it's important for this patience of His. See, we have to understand this isn't our patience, this is His patience. The only patience that we could ever have is from Him. Did you know that? It has to be Christ in me. There's no good thing in me. I know that this patience, I hope you understand it, whether it's the rest, the peace, the love, the faith, whatever it is, God gave this to you, and He's giving you the patience to wait joyfully, to expect Him. That's a gift from God. He wants all to have it. Thank the Lord He gave you the heart, and He gave you the life. He gave you the life, and that increase. And thank God the grace to yield and to rejoice in it. But as we wait patiently, this means not to be in a hurry. It's what it says. It means not to be discouraged. That it does take time. And I am thankful when you come to the Lord and you start seeing the deeper things of God. And especially when you see the bridal truth, you know, immediately you think, boy, I'm in the bride. You know, I'm definitely. And I'm not here to say you're not or you're whatever. But I just love that. And there's so many. I remember that in my heart and said, oh, I'm ready today. I'm ready today. I hope to always have that precious assurance in my heart that it's not me, but that it's His readying. I don't want to doubt Him. I want to be confident in Him. And I want to be confident in the Scripture that He said that He's going to perform, He's going to finish, complete, perfect that good work that He's begun in me. Can you imagine the good work that we're talking about tonight? Can you imagine the good work that by God's grace, which is His wonderful bridal work, that you're sitting in here and not just enduring through, by God's grace, you're rejoicing in it. You know that this is your life. Do you know that He said that He will complete, He will perform that good work in you? What do you think about that? Huh? Not that I've apprehended. I understand that. But I'm relying on His faithfulness. There is a difference. See, the enemy wants to keep you in some type of a doubt and a fear. Well, just look, naturally speaking, this dear lady that God willing will come up here to marry, if she was dwelling in a fear and a doubt, I'm telling you that groom would say, "We're not ready." He would. If he had any right mind, he would say, "We're not ready. I might be, but you're certainly not. You have to trust in my love for you. You have to be confident in my love for you. You have to rest in my love for you. You have to know my love for you." And that's what God says, to know it in every dimension, that we don't waver. That's the grace of God. Can you just accept that you're favored and highly favored at that? Can we have a concept by God's grace what a son is? We're fighting, aren't we? See, these eyes, this brain, never going to get that. Matter of fact, it's going to push me away from it. By faith. By believing the word of God. God said it, and it is so. It is that simple. Faith like a child. I'm so thankful for these little ones. Boy, I'll tell you, when they believe something, they will believe something. It's just what it is. How much more our Heavenly Father? It's just what it is. And how good it becomes, and sweet our life becomes, and simple our life becomes when we believe the simplicity that's in Christ. And you know the simplicity in Christ? Believe me. Isn't it? I said it. Believe me. That's the simplicity that's in Christ. There was nothing earned. It's grace. I gave it to you. When I told you you were blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, what else could there be? What else could there be? Thanks be to God. He's given us everything. God help us to appreciate it and believe Him. So, we note here that he's saying that we need to be patient. He gives us here this husbandman, speaking of a vine. A vine needs to be pruned often. And why? To bring forth more fruit, the good fruit. Amen? And it's going to happen time and time again. And the beautiful thing about a vine is the vine doesn't toil, does it? The vine just grows. The vine is from the seed. Hallelujah. It's all there. Christ in me. Amen? Amen. So see, I have his life. I have all of that. And then here comes this husbandman, which is so precious. And that means he's the one that does all the work. So I was given the life. Amen? You were given it. You have it all. You've been blessed with all of it. And now we want it to grow. Well, the vine doesn't get out there and say, "Well, how am I going to grow?" It just grows because it's in it. It's been imputed. It's in there. And by God's grace, as we yield to the husbandman to come and to do all of the caring and all the tending to it, it's going to grow. And it's going to grow wonderfully, amazingly. And I appreciate my brother here as he pruned back our plant over there. And I remember everybody, the first time he did it in a long time that they hadn't seen it, they thought he killed it. And I love you, Brother Alex. And everybody was, a lot of people were running around. "Can you believe brother did that to that beautiful plant? It's never coming back. It's destroyed." It came back more beautiful than it ever did. And he said he knew. And he did. Now God says he knows, and he does. So let's not sit around and have pity parties, and let's not sit around and wonder, "Oh my goodness, like Job's friend, what great sin did he do that God just blasted that poor fellow's whole, all of his home?" How about it's time to pray and trust in the faithfulness of God? Like I was talking to a sister today, I was so thankful. We forget about the Red Seas. We're talking the Atlantic nowadays. We're not talking dry ground. We're talking a paved road. That's the miracle day that you live in. He's never changed. Nothing's hard for him. Okay? So let's believe him. But in that, brothers and sisters, we come to this precious thought that we started discussing last night. See, with all of this tilling and all of this pruning by the husbandman, with all of the watering, and here we go to the watering, we come to the early and the latter rain. And praise be to God, he even said back then, it's coming soon. And every day, praise God, I'm thankful to the Lord that my mother shares that thought with my heart as well too. It's all good, son, it's all good. And it's a better day than yesterday because we're one step closer to seeing his face. Praise be to God. Now, last week, and we'll go back and read it, where we're talking about this early and latter rain here. In Joel chapter 2, this sweet prophet was given this word. And it says in the 28th verse of the second chapter, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." Now, brothers and sisters, the early rain began and poured out at Pentecost. That fire came down, and that early rain, I'm telling you, it saturated those lives, didn't it? As those ones were told from Jesus Christ, "Ye will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And brothers and sisters, that Holy Spirit came in, and it filled them, and they spoke with tongues of the men and angels. And the power, not just to preach, not just to go out there and to heal, I'm thankful for all of those different things, but the power, brothers and sisters, was that the Holy Spirit now could take the things of Christ, yea, the deep things of God, Paul's mystery specifically that he spoke of, and make that mine. Hallelujah. That you would be able to be guided into all truth. Many things I want to say to you, disciples. You've been with me. You love me. You've seen these mighty things, but you can't understand them till he, the Spirit of truth, is come, for he's been with you, and he shall be in you. Now get it. Understand it. Rejoice in it. Be thankful for this day, and be thankful for the Holy Ghost. Praise be to God. So that was the early rain. And then as we spoke about, as the Lord's been bringing out, it soon faded. It was over. The early rain was done. And then the latter rain started to pour out. And the latter rain began in the early 1900s. We have the evidence of the ones documented there at the Azusa Street, hills of Kentucky, around the world, all of those different things. And as I rejoice, and I believe the apostle of this age for the latter rain, God chose a sweet vessel in Brother Copley to bring forth this sweet message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There it is. It's out. And we understand too, and know, if you know anything, it's starting to fade out now, isn't it? Yep, that excitement, all of that. And again, we talked about it in spirit and in truth. But it's been raining, it's been pouring, we've been saturated, but praise be to God, it's just about done. But the latter rain in the Old Testament, what that actually literally meant was the rain that fell in the springtime. And that rain was to grow up the tender herbs to produce the fruit to the fullest. I'm going to give you some verses and I'm going to read them, so you can turn there with me if you want. But this is some precious scripture on, and there's many others, I want you to know this, all over the Word of God, but just some that the Lord so impressed upon my heart about this rain. And especially what it is this encouragement, the Spirit's power. But in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 4, it says, "Then I will give you rain in due season." And listen to this. "And the land shall yield her increase." And what that means is that when I give that rain out, the land is going to yield her best. The best is going to come forth, the brightest, the most fruitful is going to shine forth when I bring that out. "And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." And then in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 14, it says here that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. See, the Lord chooses when he's going to rain this out. You understand that? You can do all you want, but it's going to be on his timing. It's going to be on him, and we have to rely on him. And I take that even especially for the meeting here, brothers and sisters. The anointing is here because we ask. Do you know that? And he's readied. We ask for it. By God's grace, every time we come together, it's not just an anointing on a speaker, on the Word of God. It's anointing on every life that's here. By God's grace, that Spirit just strike and strike deep. Open your heart by God's grace to receive this wonderful rain. The bread is raining tonight. Are you receiving? Praise be to God. We're going to read about your mouth wide open here in a second. And it says, in due season, I'll go back and read it again, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain. Can you imagine? He's mentioned it all the way through. That thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Sounds like we're going to have a wedding. What do you think? Amen. And all them ingredients, all that stuff come in there. See, God knows what he needs, and he's going to gather what he wants. So we see here the rain is for the increase, brothers and sisters. The rain is for the fullest potential. And I love that because I always think of Ephesians, the fully purposed saints. That's what Ephesians means. And that high calling message, the very high water mark of the Word of God. And this is the Holy Spirit again, taking the things of Christ and making them ours. And brothers and sisters, if we really will yield to this, if we will be still and understand what God is doing, that we are here and we are in a battle and we're battling and fighting the good fight of faith, the fight of, Lord, tend upon the things of you without distraction. That's the battle. I'm not fighting flesh and blood. It's the spiritual wickedness that wants to affect me and bother me and get my thoughts and my mind and my hearts off of what God is doing. This is the battle. And he's going to bring forth the good, praise God, enduring the hardness as a good soldier. He's going to bring them forth, the ones that are the warriors. Praise God, the mighty men, and thank the Lord that this is what's going on right now. We know this, but if we will surrender to this, brothers and sisters, and receive the rain and the soaking, we will grow into all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. To be filled with all the fullness of God. It's amazing what we could surrender to. And this early harvest, this first trump, this is the season now for the ones that will soak it up, that will saturate themselves, that will be that, have the sweet oil poured out upon the anointed vessels. But brothers and sisters, just like in always with the Word of God, it gets even better. Job 29:23. It says in Job 29:23, and they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. Now, I understand in context what that's speaking of there, but we take it into the latter rain and opening our mouths wide and receiving it. We are in season for this, brothers and sisters, and praise be to God, you're responding to it. And I'm thankful to the Lord. That's the thing that makes us so happy in Jesus, is to see one another grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know the evidence? The joy, unspeakable and full of glory. We see it. Praise the Lord. Sure, there's sorrow, but there's still joy. There's still hope. There's things that go on. There's pressing, despairing of our own lives, and we know it. But then yet, the bridegroom cometh. Hallelujah. Amen. So, that's what we have. But then, in Proverbs 16:15, it even goes further. Listen to this one. In the light of the king's countenance is life. Now think of that. In the light of the king's countenance is life. Now, God just hits me with life. That word alive. The living ones. Praise God. Those are the ones that will be alive at his coming. His sweet countenance. They're like him, aren't they? Those ones that will dwell in the midst of the throne with him, they're like Jesus. Hallelujah. The four living ones, every bit the testimony of Christ in me, the hope of glory, and his favor to them is that sweet cloud of the latter rain, covering them and drenching them. Hallelujah. See, they grow up into Him in all things, don't they? Because they receive that rain. They want to dwell in that rain. I told you when I was out there in Virginia, I never used to like to stand in the rain. But I'm telling you what, when that rain came, that was the best place you ever felt like with that heat that was going on there. It was a little warm rain, but it was still cooler than what was going on temperature-wise. And just to stand out there and think, oh Lord, praise God, how good that feels. Well, that's the latter rain on us. And then in Zechariah 10:1, it says to ask for this rain, covet it, cherish it, praise Him for it. Here's what He says here. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Isn't that something? We know we're in this time, brothers and sisters, and we need that rain. You need the refreshing all the time. I do too. Sometimes we call them funks. We call them lots of different things. God help us. I think the consistency is the sign of the readied wife. Amen? Yeah, there's things that come, but she's consistently in love. She's not just laying there, oh, no, I got a home. Praise be to God. A readied wife tends it. Hallelujah. She brings that joy in the place. Her husband, he rests, doesn't he? He loves her. He takes comfort. There is a sweetness that he loves to lie between her breasts. That's the word of God. That's what he wants you to be, that sweet-smelling sacrifice to him. What do you think? You willing to go out there and say, Lord, I believe? I believe that you see me and want this place for me, not a hope of a somewhere, oh, that's a sweet thought, brother, but for your life now, that you enjoy the Lord, that He enjoys you. Praise be to God. That's the relationship that He wants. But the Lord, it says here, ask the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Do you see how we need to desire the Holy Spirit and treasure that and to encourage one another? Brothers and sisters, we need the power, don't we? Amen. The Pentecostal power, that's what it is. The power to run, the power of the joy of the Lord, the power to win the race. And I love how Paul said it so sweetly. One of the evidences of it is, I'm glad, I'm happy, I speak more than ye all. Don't you think we should take note of Brother Paul? I think we should listen. Because he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's the word of God. That wasn't Paul's words. That's the Holy Ghost. Know that, right? Amen? Doesn't matter if the words are in black or in red in the word of God. it bothers me. That bothers me. It's the word of God. Praise the Lord. All right? Amen. And aren't we thankful that he chose vessels to speak the word through? See, that's how he loves us. And that's how he treasures us, brothers and sisters, as we yield and can be used to the Lord. How sweet. But you see, this rain is there for everyone. And it is. The Word of God says it rains on the just and the unjust. So we know that God is no respecter of person, but many and most just let it pass by. I'm thankful that people are encouraged or blessed if the Lord uses me, because I know I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And I know that there's ones that have been acquaintances in my life that I've seen the Lord bless. Just being, I hope you understand, it's not me, it's Christ. I mean it. I'm telling you the truth. Jonah saw ones that were around him when he wasn't following the will of God that were kind of cursed. And they said, wow, we don't want to get rid of you, but you know what you're talking, it sounds like it is the truth, so we'll go ahead and throw you in the sea if that's what we got to do. And he was okay with that. God had a plan in it. But so thankful that we know that rain is there. But I'm thankful for this sweet group of saints that God has placed me in the midst as my sweet family in the Lord, that we pray by grace. to, Lord, open our hearts to receive it. Do you know that? The sweet scripture tells us that He has to open our hearts to receive these things. And at times, the Lord's always encouraged my heart when I haven't felt very spiritual, when I haven't felt very joyous, to specifically pray, Jesus, open my heart. Open my heart. And He does. Because it's His word. It is written. You wrote this. This is you, Lord. This is what you do. I understand and I believe that this man can't worship you, but Christ in me sure can. And Christ in me wants to praise you no matter what we're coming against. So open my heart to receive it. And see, He does it. And He's got it all. See, we rely on Him for every drop of the rain. Every drop we receive, every good and every benefit is from above. And then someday in the Song of Solomon, and the Lord had it on my heart on Sunday, right at the end, I was so thankful. In chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Listen to these things, brothers and sisters. The Word of God, there's no accident. There's no coincidence here. This is just so absolutely beyond perfect. It's so beyond complete. It's so beyond magnificent. It just is. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 10 and 11, it says, "My beloved spake, and he said unto me." And see, that's the thing. You've got to hear it for you. You see this? We can come in here and we understand this is us in Christ. But for us in Christ to happen for you, He has to speak this to me. Isn't that wonderful? That's how intimate this is. "So my beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Now we hear that all the time. That's why God put the whole word in there. And it goes on to say, "For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone." Isn't that awesome? I mean, isn't that awesome? Line upon line. Isn't that awesome? And as my dear brother who sits here tonight, he said, "Oh, God, just connect those dots for me." And here they are. And every one of them is a dot of love and love and more love and more love and more love. Hallelujah. Isn't it awesome? Praise be to God. So see, the rain is about gone. We know that. So we don't need to be excited in a sense of being in despair that the love of many is waxing cold. And I'm talking about Christians. That it's hard to get anybody that really professes to be a Christian anymore to sit down with you and talk about the deep things of God. People that you care for, people that you might meet, might be interested in, but it just stops. They have itching ears for every type of feeling that there could be, but not one itch for truly the Word of God. Always trying to compromise it. Always trying to think, well, we have to have something new and exciting. Man, with what we just talked about tonight, what could be more exciting than that? I'm serious. What could be more incredible than to know what the message of the bridegroom and the readied wife? There isn't. I mean, when you fall into that absolute truth and you just fall into those arms. They're already there, but I mean when you fall into Him and you embrace Him. See, that's apprehending Him. He's always apprehended you, whether you're looking at Him, squirming around or whatever. You can't get away from the love of God as His child. All we're doing by God's grace is preaching this marvelous word. Someday will it be where we look into the eyes and we just embrace Him. And say, "Thank you." Oh, thank you. Thank you, my love, my fair one. I am going to come away with you. I see how you look at me, Lord. It's not that big old eye on the dollar bill. It's eyes of passion and love. You're amorous towards me. I see that King in the court as I walk before Him. And He's ravished. Not many will listen to this. It's okay. I think there's a few. And the reward. Thank you, Jesus. I'm looking how beautiful she is tonight. And I mean it. She's altogether lovely. How cool. Ooh, how sweet. Praise God. But we'll move on. Verse 8. We'll hurry along. Again, he says, be patient. Establish your heart. See, that's how you're patient. That means establish it in the Word of God. See, you're not going to establish in anything except the Word. David, Psalm 119:38, he said, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. See, this established means it's firmed, unmoved, unshaken, not tossed to and fro, because these are ears that only want to hear his heartbeat. And here's his heartbeat right here. It's the Word of God. I love you, 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 I love you. And that's what it is. And that's what it says. And praise God, it's in tune with all the perfect and complete will of God. And it is the Word. And yes, again, God does it all. And as always, brothers and sisters, even though my sweet brother David, he saw 119:38 where it said, establish thy word unto thy servant. I want you to turn with me to Romans 16. And let's read verse 25. And see what we've been in tune with to be established in. That's Romans 16, verse 25. Really listen to this. Now to him that is of power to establish you. See, we're talking about the power of his might now, aren't we? Huh? Praise be to God. The power of his might. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Hallelujah. This is Paul again praising the Lord. For the gospel of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? This is why it is so necessary. Aren't you thankful that you see this? How many have you ever spoken to that they can, it should? Why not? Because you know what? They're not patient. You have to be patient to listen to this. You have to want to sit down and really just be smitten, huh? Look in the eyes of him. Let him speak to you. But here's what he says. To him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Amen. See, the blood was never a secret. The prophets, they knew that. They knew salvation by the blood. They knew all of that. We know that what this mystery is. That the Gentile shall be man as wife, as man and wife with Jesus Christ. Amen. The simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm glad he made it that simple to us. So, we've read, we're established through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're established through the sufferings. We're established through faith. We're established through every good word and work. And that he is coming soon at any moment in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. And that moment is going to pass. That reign, it's about over. Time shall be no more to get ready. We'll be about done. And he's coming. Verse 9. Basically says there, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. See, that word condemned means there, judged against entering. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. See, I don't want to be kept out. I know I'm seated in the heavens in Christ. What I'm talking about is at the first opening. Amen? And he's opening that door at that time. You read there in Revelation 3:7, you know, he's got that door open for the church of Philadelphia. Doesn't he? Praise the Lord. For those Smyrna saints, praise God. He has that door open at that time for the first trump. So, brothers and sisters, only the ones that are brotherly love saturated are going to go in. A brother had been writing me this week. I appreciate how much he knows in the Word of God. I'm loving that. I'm thanking the Lord. I'm just praying and really praying. And just, again, to encourage, speaking truth in love. Huh? Knowledge can puff you up. But love. Amen? Okay. We know we need that knowledge, but it is the knowledge of His love. So God encourage us that we do, and not that we've hit any plateau. We need to grow on, not go on, grow on in His love. And I'm praying He continue to grow me up in all that complete and perfect love. Praise His name. Now, the saturated ones of love go in. The Word of God tells us, how can we say we love Him when we don't love our brother who we see? And that it's so blunt, isn't it? And here we go. Grudge not one another. Grudge not. Brother Copley so sweetly brings out this word grudge often can mean envy. Let's just call it what it is, jealousy. Jealousy is crueler than the grave. And it's amazing what the enemy can do. We're talking about jealous one another sometimes in spiritual matters. Do you understand what I'm saying? And really that's what it is, because we know it's not flesh and blood. This is spiritual wickedness. And spiritual wickedness will have us be jealous of somebody's spirituality. Isn't that nuts? Well, that's what the enemy is. He's nuts. He's the God of nuts. And it is. He makes you crazy. In a bad way, crazy. And again, that you're not operating right. You know that that's not right, but you give over to it, that envy and jealousy. God, stop it now. It'll destroy you. It will. I've seen it. It'll take your mind. It'll make you crazy. It'll leave you that way as well, too, and you'll be a shipwreck. But brothers and sisters, we need to love one another. The body and the head, hallelujah, of Christ, it's one package. It's not going to be separated. They're one. And we cannot grudge that. Brothers and sisters, we need to love. And later on next week, as we finish up James here, we're going to talk about the healing that heals all this as well, too, and how much that is needed. But this open door, where he says the judge standeth at the door here in verse 9, in Revelation 3:7, you'll see that it's an open door. But it's an open door for the church without spot or wrinkle. It's the open door for the one without blemish. We're talking about love, love, love. And God is judging for this right now. You understand? He's judging His children for reward. And the reward, brothers and sisters, the greatest reward is to be Him at the moment, beginning moment of His day. Amen. Praise God. That's right. Not to delay being away from Him. The reward is to be with me. And to be with me early. And God's judging this. And how does the Word of God say He does this? Well, He judges the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to Paul's gospel. It's amazing how that gospel keeps popping up. Amen, praise God. It's there and it's evident, isn't it? It's just you can pass it by and gloss over it if you want. But God's a God of detail, especially in the heart that's going to win Him. Now, verse 10, what it's telling us there is to abound in hope, in the hope of His coming. And how does that happen? Patience, just like we read. He's bringing out patience, patience, patience. And to know the Word of God in patience, happy are ye. Happy is a good word when it's in Jesus. I'm happy in Jesus. I'm happy in the Lord. And happy are ye when you suffer for Christ's sake. You are. You may not feel good, but that doesn't really matter. Happy are ye, satisfied, content. When you know the Word of God, it's amazing. It's like the miracle. You're seeing this. Wow, Lord, this is happening in me. Yes, praise God. That transformation from glory to glory into your image is happening in me. The prophets many times, and we read, they were discouraged. Shoot, they laid under trees and said, Lord, I want to die, and all of these different things. And we've been right there in one way, shape, or form. Come on now, let's be honest. They were upset when no one listened. They were, you know, boo-hooing when they were ridiculed. But praise be to God. They when he said, arise, you know, it's like the brother said, well, where else are we going to go? I guess it ain't so bad. No, you jump up. Thank you, Jesus. And eat. Come on now. Feast on him. Arise. Be glad. Endure the hardness as a good soldier. And he'll establish our hearts. 1 Peter 5:10 says he establishes us through suffering. Proven warriors stand. They do. They may be battered. Bloodied. But let me tell you something. They stand glorious, don't they? There's nothing like that. I love to see them in their shiny uniforms. But what really grips my heart is when you see those brothers and sisters coming out of a battlefield. Torn up, ripped up, maybe carrying another that's injured or whatever. I'm talking about it right now, making the hair on my hand stand all up. Yeah. And you know why? Because the glory is in the Lamb slain. You think about that. His visage marred more than any man. And I always love that. It's the Lamb's wife. She's in love with that suffering. She's in love with that blood. She's in love with that crucified one. You think he loves the same? Boy, you're attractive to him when you suffer for his sake. Know what this is about. See, I want to have the heavenly vision. Paul said, I glory in this, for the very power of Christ rests upon me. And in verse 11, it says, yep, they're happy. And see, that's beyond satisfied. They just glow. They just kind of sit there and glow. Yeah. It gets hot. But in order to glow, sometimes you got to get hot. If you're going to glow brighter, you're going to have to burn. They're burning ones, them four living ones. Weren't they on fire? They're on fire for a lot of reasons, but mainly because they love God. They love his son. Set aflame. But they're radiating with thankfulness. They realize that there's a privilege of that splendor that we heard about in the dark mile. They weren't afraid to go that way. It was treacherous. But oh, the wonder that was seen down in the depth of the valley of death. And the only thing that was ever seen that was glorious was when they looked up, and in that dark mile, in the midst of day, they could look up and see the sky painted with the stars. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. But see, that's the life that says, I'm glad I did. Huh? I've always kind of seen that in life. I'm not talking about people that are just crazy nuts, but I like somebody that likes to go get it. That's not afraid. When the Lord sets something out in front of you, it may look insurmountable, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, we end with Job and the thought of him. It wasn't joyous for the moment. And that brother would tell you, and he did tell you in Scripture over and over. But he was so thankful for grace through faith, knowing that the end would be glory. And as the Word of God says here, the end of the Lord, the tender mercies, I think of the words, Tielio, it is finished. Hallelujah. The victory, the comforter sent to dwell in our hearts. See, brothers and sisters, this is the song that endures. This is the song that comforts us. The hope that endures through any storm. Because by faith we trust in that in His strength we endure. We were prepared afore unto glory. Do you know that? We were prepared vessels of praise. Vessels of praise. And the sweetest praise is in the storm. It is. The sweetest cry is "It is well" from the lion pit. Huh? Amen, amen. Because He will not tempt us beyond what we are able. God help us to settle in on that. You've been prepared for everything you're going to face. I think about that sweet little David. I was rejoicing with him with a brother on the phone today. Again, he didn't know how to fight a thing. He didn't know how to be a warrior. But he believed God made him one when Goliath was there. I got your head today, baby. There was no hesitation. It was, let's get it on. And every day, by God's grace, Lord, whatever You're going to bring, let's bring it on. Not the strength in me, but hallelujah, Christ in me. It's guaranteed, brothers and sisters. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Amen? Amen. What a sweet army of the Lord. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.